Just to know you and to make you know we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than
today we continue our series Thrive, where we've been looking at Romans chapter 12, and we've been learning some important things about how to thrive as the church family of God. In verse 1, we learn that this is the way to worship God, to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you, to be a living sacrifice and a holy sacrifice. In verse 2, we learn that this is the way to know God's will for you. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. In verses 3 to 5, Paul encourages us to be humble because we are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Jesus is the head of this body, and all of you together are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Over the last several weeks, we've been focused on verses 6 to 8, where it says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. We call these spiritual gifts. We learn that spiritual gifts are to be used to serve each other in the body. You discover your spiritual gift by trying a variety of ways to serve others. You can even cultivate and develop your spiritual gift. But you need to be humble enough to serve outside your area of giftedness when needed. And if you see something around here that needs to be done and nobody's doing it, perhaps that is your gift to serve in the church family. Well, I'd like to invite you to stand again to read with me Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, as we see the final spiritual gift Paul enumerates in this passage. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing mercy to others, do it gladly. So this final spiritual gift from this list, we're going to call the arms of mercy. Now in Matthew 5:7, you might remember in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And mercy is not just simply feeling sorry for someone. Mercy is not merely doing helpful things for someone. Mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. So what does it mean to show mercy to someone? The word mercy comes from the Greek word eleo, and the root of this word carries the meaning to wash over. In Greek culture, this word was used in the context of whitewashing a wall, wiping out an offense, or canceling a debt. And this is what God did for us when He forgave our sins. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10 says this, God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that He loves us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Mercy goes far beyond sympathy to empathy, and mercy compels us to action. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me today to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you can find this on page 778. We'll be reading verses 9 to 13. And we're going to meet a man who had actually been a tax collector. And Jesus is going to call him to follow. But I want you not only to notice Matthew's response, I want you to notice what Matthew did after this so that other people could receive mercy too. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" And when Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Isn't that a beautiful picture? Matthew finds mercy in following Jesus, and then he invites his friends, who are also sinners, to come and meet Jesus and find the mercy of God too. The Pharisees didn't like that a whole lot though, did they? They couldn't understand why Jesus would eat with people like that. And Jesus tells them this scripture that is pretty amazing. It actually comes from the Old Testament prophet Hosea, chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. Look what it says there. "O Israel and Judah, what should I do with you?" asked the Lord. "For your love vanishes like the morning mist and disappears like dew in the sunlight. I sent my prophets to cut you to pieces, to slaughter you with my words, with my judgments as inescapable light." Here it comes. "I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings." You know, God did set up the sacrificial system, but people were using and abusing it. They were going through the motions, but not really having repentant hearts. And so God sends this message through his prophet. Yes, sacrifices are important, but I want something more. I want you to know me, and because you know me, I want you to show mercy. I don't want you caught up in the rituals. I want you to get to know who I am so you can act like me. I think another way of saying it is, I want you to have a flexible heart, not an inflexible ritual. So let's talk about what this means to have mercy. First thing I'd like to suggest is that mercy means being patient with others. In 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Paul writes, "Encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone." So these three things go hand in hand: encouragement, tender care, and patience with everyone. A second thing about mercy is that mercy means being willing to forgive others. In Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, Paul writes, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." Mercy also means helping those who are hurting. 1 John 3:17 says, "If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person?" If we see people who are hurting, especially brothers or sisters in Christ, we need to show mercy and compassion. Mercy also means doing good even to those who hurt us. Wow, that's a hard concept, isn't it? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 32 and 36, "If you only love those who love you, why should you get credit for that? And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High." Now, Paul says here that if you have a gift for showing mercy to others, that you should do it gladly. This word gladly comes from the Greek word hilarotes, from which we get our English word hilarious. Have you ever showed mercy in such a way that got you a little hilarious? As I was thinking about this word hilarious, it made me think of Uncle Albert. No, I don't have an Uncle Albert, but it made me think of the Uncle Albert of Mary Poppins.
Yes, whatever you do, keep a straight face. Last time it took us 3 days to get him down.
I love to laugh. Loud and long and clear. I love to laugh. It's getting worse every year. The more I laugh, the more I fill with glee.
You're no help at all.
The more the glee, the more I'm a merrier bee. It's embarrassing. The more I'm a merrier bee.
And if you remember that scene, when Uncle Albert started to laugh, he floated up to the ceiling. And then the Dick Van Dyke character started laughing, and he floated to the ceiling. And then the children did, and Mary Poppins wasn't amused, was she? But you know, that's one of the fun things about hilarity. It's contagious. And when we show mercy in such a way that we do it gladly, it's contagious. Other people want to do it too. As we wrap up our time together today, I want to share with you from another Old Testament prophet, Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, and hear the message that God gave him that rings in on this point. Micah says, "What can we bring the Lord? What kind of offering should we give him? Should we offer him 1,000 rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And when we do that, we extend our arms of mercy to those who need it, in a way that honors God. Remember, Christ is the head of this body, and all of you together are part of that body. And God has planted us here in this community so that we can grow, so that we can thrive, and we can be His people. And one of the marks of God's people is the ability to show mercy. So my challenge for you today is to ask you this: who do you know that needs your mercy this week? How can you extend your arms of mercy to someone who needs it and do it gladly? In other words, what are you doing to help this body thrive? Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you so much for this spiritual gift of showing mercy. We recognize, Lord, that it's an important quality that distinguishes Christians from other people. And if we are to be your people, we need to exude this quality of showing mercy. So help us, Father, to not be caught up in the rituals of religion. So help us be extenders of mercy to those who need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
Just to know.